Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook and Kathy Kozak is here with me. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. We've got a lot of great discussions today about living here, paying to live here, being outside, saving culture and nature.
Things that are close to home, things that are right here in our pockets, like our wallets. That's our first discussion. We often hear the term paradise tax applied to our exaggerated cost of living here in Hawaii. And we've mostly benumbed ourselves to the expense without necessarily looking in detail at its causes. Wallet Hub has looked at tax burdens in its ranking of most and least fair state tax systems, and Hawaii ranks 48th. Jill Gonzalez is a spokesperson for Wallet Hub, and she has more. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Sure. I guess the first thing to do in talking about most and least fair tax system is defining fair.
Yes, that is exactly what we set out to do first and foremost before conducting the rest of the study. So we asked a nationally representative sample of Americans, when looking at state and local tax systems, what looks the most fair? Then we gave them 10 different levels of income and had them attach percentages to each one, basically asking them, how much do you think each level should be paying in state and local taxes? And we were surprised to find out that really across the board, between liberals and conservatives, most people agreed that a progressive tax system that imposes higher tax rates on wealthy households than on lower and middle income households was the most fair here.
I was surprised by that too, Jill, because even people with money agreed that a graduated system made the most sense, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. So we had people, again, of various income levels, asked about their own income level as well. They all tended to agree here.
I mean, you would expect people at the low income level, but not so much at the high income level. So it sounds as if there's a pretty accepted notion that the graduated system, that people with more should pay a higher percentage. But what you also found was that most states skew in the opposite direction, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. So we found that despite what people think and despite people's opinions, the exact opposite is happening. So instead of the lowest 20% spending the least money of their total income towards state and local taxes, and liberals and conservatives agreed here around 2-3%, they're actually spending, this is national average, more like 11% of total income on the state and local tax burden, while the top 1% of earners is spending just 5%, whereas liberals and conservatives agreed on about a 15% tax rate for them.
Well, that's a pretty that's quite a broad distinction, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's hitting some states obviously a lot harder than others. Hawaii is actually one of the worst offenders here. The lowest 20% of earners who are bringing in about less than $18,000 annually spend about 13.5% right on their state and local taxes, whereas the top 1% of earners who are bringing in around $400,000 annually only spend 7% of their total income on taxes.
Joe, I've never heard it broken down quite that way, but that figure says an awful lot, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, Hawaii here, especially when we're looking at how much the poor are overtaxed, are the second worst offenders only to Washington State.
The other criterion that you examined is the percentage of state tax revenue that comes from excise taxes, which, of course, fall equally on everyone. And an argument could be made that that's an unfair burden on the lower incomes. Yeah, it's a bigger chunk of what they have.
Exactly. We found that these states, and Hawaii is, of course, one of them, that really heavily rely on sales and excise taxes, tend to be more regressive and obviously put a much larger burden on these lower-income families than the other states. So that's one of Hawaii's mainly regressive feature, so that comparatively high reliance on sales and excise taxes, plus the state and local sales tax bases include groceries as well, as many states do not.
You know what, one thing that emerges from this, Jill, is the possibility that if you were to just be able to have the power to come in and just upend this system and establish progressive taxation and maybe reduce an excise tax burden, you would actually have more state revenue. It would actually be more a more effective way, I would think, to run the state, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, there is a progressive system in place in Hawaii. There is that graduated personal income tax structure.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other things that there is not. So it fails to provide a refundable earned income tax credit, those EITCs that many states are now implementing. And that could a lot of times offset that sales tax, especially when it comes to at least groceries or things like that.
Mm-hmm. So that that's a prospective solution. What are some others that could be implemented, you know, in an ideal world would be implemented to kind of right the balance here?
Well, the other thing here, again, one of the most regressive features that a state tax code can have, Hawaii provides preferential income tax rates for income from capital gains, and that, of course, is going to favor the top 20% of earners. So that's another thing that could maybe be changed. I mean, in 2013 and 2014, and of course 2015, Hawaii didn't really have any new significant developments in its tax code. So I think maybe looking at this report, it might be time to either change those preferential income tax rates or institute a refundable EITC.
It's a question of getting the information in the report kind of at the top of public mind, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not all bad, of course, in Hawaii. Like we said, progressively, it does offer the graduated personal income tax structure. It does limit itemized deductions for upper income taxpayers. And it does have that personal exemption that phases out for upper income taxpayers. So those are a couple of things that help to offset it, but clearly just not enough.
One of your other conclusions was that taxes are slightly fairer in blue states, and of course Hawaii is about as blue as you can get, but doesn't seem to have helped all that much in this case.
No, that is one thing that of course we look into, especially among a campaign season like the one that we're entering now.
Mm-hmm.
We did see that there was only a slight difference, although during any debate, I'm sure anyone will tell you it's every little bit counts, but we did see that in blue states, the average rank was about 23, of course, out of 50. In red states, the average rank was 28.
Jill, is this the first time this particular state-by-state analysis has been done?
It is, and it's the first time that we really looked at what Americans believe is fair.
So we're not really in a position to gauge trends, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, that kind of thing.
No, not yet. We are planning on doing this annually, however.
Well, good, because I think it's kind of, we should add that it's based on the public's, the definition of fairness, just circling back to where we were at the beginning, the definition of fairness that you're working from is based on a kind of a public polling of what do citizens think is fair, right?
Yes, the definition is in terms of opinion, but what's actually happening is just based on current tax codes.
Based on what, I'm sorry?
Current tax codes.
Well, I do. It'll be interesting to hear in coming years what your results are, Jill. Thanks very much for taking the time with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Jill Gonzalez is the spokesperson for Wallet Hub, and her take on consumer finance issues has been featured in the New York Times, the Washington Post, and Kiplinger. And from time to time, she talks with us here in Hawaii Conversation as well.